This morning, we have a guest joining us in studio. Aaron Soigling is with us. Aaron is with Iowa State University Extension and Outreach as a field agronomist for this area. And we're going to talk about the Wallace Foundation Field Day coming up here pretty quick. ISU Extension in collaboration with the Wallace Foundation, taking care of a field day at the Armstrong Research Farm here near Lewis. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for coming in. It says the Wallace Foundation and ISU Extension collaboration. Aren't they kind of one and the same?
Actually, no. We have several entities at the Armstrong Farm, and so it's a true partnership here specific for Southwest Iowa. So we have a little bit of everything. Without going into too much detail, there's several components to that. There's a Wallace Foundation, which they own the property, and then they have an agreement with Iowa State University to do research there at the farm. And so, and also keeping with that is ISU Extension is in there with our field specialist, myself included, as the agronomist. We have a beef specialist, Chris Clark, and we have an ag engineer out there, Sean Schaus, and then also Alan Ladd there is a regional education director.
One-stop shopping.
Pretty much.
Very good. And I think that would probably be the first question a lot of folks would ask, because they just kind of assume with all the things that have been going on there at the Wallace Foundation Research Farms that it's pretty much the same as Iowa State University Extension with so much overlap. But it's a good partnership.
It is. It's a good partnership, and it's been highly beneficial to the people of Southwest Iowa and the amount of research that is actually conducted at the farm. I think a lot of people, if they've never taken the time to understand how the farm operates, we'd encourage them to come out to this event that we're hosting or anytime in the future, because there is a lot of local research done here in Southwest Iowa.
Well, the Wallace Foundation has the two research farms, Neely Canyon over there by Greenfield. Not talking about that one right now. Today we're going to focus on the Armstrong Research Farm there near Lewis. Field Day coming up on August 17th. Just in general, they're all challenging in their different ways, but this growing season's come with some challenges, hasn't it?
This growing season has some challenges. We have a few hurdles to get to the finish line. We're going to talk about some of those challenges, but we're also going to incorporate some other topics there at the research farm. So hitting on those, we're going to take a look at corn and soybean maturity and planting dates. Those are also very critical as growers begin to evaluate hybrids, maturities that they want, varieties of soybeans that they want to plant. And how does planting date impact that specific to Southwest Iowa? Because I will tell you, it will vary in other parts of Iowa. And so Dr. Mark Licht is going to come down and talk about that. We'll have some visual demonstrations so guys will get to see what does an early planting look like versus a mid planting versus a late planting, particularly in a year like this where it wasn't excellent conditions when we were really wanting to plant. It was a little bit wetter than what we liked, so planting was delayed. We're also going to have Tim Youngquist come and talk about some conservation practices. And I like to call these are very practical opportunities that growers can do themselves. These are small strips, 15 to 20 feet on the contour that can slow erosion, provide some wildlife habitat. And Tim is experienced in doing that. We also have a site at the Neely Canyon Farm, and Tim has also put in several across the state. And then we're going to finish that up on the livestock side of our facility out there. For those people that don't know, we do have a beef cattle operation out there. Dallas Maxwell heads that up, and we're putting in some new feed intake monitoring systems. So we're going to be able to kind of tie in some of the genetic components of some of the cattle that we receive and how much their intake is and how that converts. And so any of the livestock producers that want to see and understand how that works, Garland Dahlke is going to come and talk about that. And so we've kind of tried to reach out to everybody. It's not simply on the ag side, but we also will have some other opportunities. I've got a nice herbicide demonstration out there. I see a lot of water hemp peeking up through a lot of fields, and so we're not immune to that. We have some herbicide trials out there that kind of showcase some of those things.
You know, you'd think that how can things be so different from year to year with regard to some of the issues that you deal with, but you talked about some of the weed issues that have come up all of a sudden this year that have really been focused on, and you've done some programming on that. But some of the different types of things that are happening here with whether it's row crops or whether it's with the cattle and livestock, you know, you come up with creative, new, different ideas year to year. Where do they come from?
You know, a lot of them come from some professors. There's a lot of professor research out there. I also work with Jim Rogers locally, and Jim and I kind of brainstorm in our relationship with a lot of local producers. So we have a component that we do some on-farm research. So we go out to farmers and we do some scientific replicated strips for demonstration purposes. And so those are where a lot of the ideas come from. So what I try to do is I look at protocols that professors utilize, and I try to pare that down and say, okay, can I kind of make that usable and fit for Southwest Iowa? And so I'll take out some of the parameters that they look at, and we'll simplify it somewhat, so to speak, so that we can look at just a few things. But a lot of our ideas just come locally.
Mm-hmm. Aaron, how often do you show off some of the things that you do here at the Armstrong Research Farm? You know, we make our mistakes on the research farm, so we don't have to make them out in our money-making farm. But how often do you see some of the things, the projects that you work on there, and then get out maybe in the next year or two and start to see some of those practices being implemented on the farm?
You know, I would say on an annual basis, we're always tweaking some things and we're learning things. Weather is unique to Southwest Iowa. Our soils are unique. So I don't have a lot of that information from Ames that I can transpose into our environment. I use that as a backdrop oftentimes, but I really rely on how our soils are different and how our climate is actually different at the research farm. And so that's really beneficial to me in my daily use in working with producers in Southwest Iowa.
Yeah, I know Iowa seems like a small state, but there can be vast differences, not just in the lay of the land, whether it's flat or hilly or what have you, but soil differences. And it's amazing. You know, you're just a three-hour drive to the northern border, to the eastern part of the state, but you can have massive differences in the weather patterns over the course of a growing season.
Yeah, and that's really playing itself out well this year, and we're seeing a lot of vast differences. If we go back and, you know, everyone wants to talk drought, so I'll throw the D word out there. But in 2012 was not real kind to us. But if you look at some of the historical yield data of my counterparts in North Central Iowa and Northwest Iowa in 2012, it was a crop failure at 150 bushel. If I look at 2012 in Southwest Iowa and South Central, where I cover, I go over to Clark and Osceola, those producers, it was probably 75 or 80 bushel. And so therein lies a lot of difference in probably just a couple hundred miles. And so we're going to see a lot of those differences, unfortunately, this year. There's some good-looking corn out here as I drive around that's done pretty well. It was planted early. It's got a lot of things going for it. And then we've got some we're just we're struggling. And like I said early, we've got a couple hurdles to clear, and we'll know here shortly.
Well, we started the growing season with some pretty good subsoil moisture.
We did. We started pretty good subsoil. We had a lot of isolated rain showers, and you know, you talk to guys around, and some guys are, unfortunately, they've just missed it all. You know, one guy will get an inch and they'll get 2 tenths, you know, and they're thankful to have that. But the thing we struggle in Southwest Iowa that really makes us unique versus other parts of Iowa is our temperatures. Our nighttime temperatures are extremely warm, and anytime we're over 70 to 75 degrees, that's really hard on corn. And we're starting to see that as you talk to guys in the coffee shop, start peeling back ears and looking at ears, and heat is probably our number one challenge.
Hmm. Interesting. You were talking about planting dates and corn, soybean, whatever. You know, for most of us that don't farm for a living, I just assume the planting date is as soon as you can get out. It seems like it's always a race to get out there as soon as the snow cover is gone.
It is, and I think, you know, when we talk about the race, you know, and sometimes we jokingly say, well, maybe we're going too fast. That's why in Southwest Iowa, planting date can be important. In years where you get that it's extremely hot, if we can plant the mid part of April, that helps stave off some of that. And so that's where early planting can kind of benefit you. That's not to say every year. We've had good corn at the research farm planted the second week of May. That's, you know, yielded everything that was planted 4 or 5 weeks ahead of that. But in a year like this, I think we'll probably...
Yeah, you would think it was so easy. Plant seed, water seed, watch seed grow. If only it were that easy, huh?
Yeah, the hard part is having enough patience to get to the end.
I know, yeah. Imagine planting all your assets underground and then hoping, just sitting back and hoping for the rest of it to play out. You don't have to just sit and hope. You can pick up on some things here that can help you in the overall operation. That field day, again, is coming up on August 17th. Now, this is a morning event?
This is a morning morning event, and we'll just have a couple of stations. It'll be about 45 minutes for each station, and so we'll allow time for questions. We'll have lunch after the field day is over, and we try to keep these really informal, so growers are more than welcome to bring any questions that they've got, and this is really a program for the local producers and local farmers and agribusiness in our area. It's not a set program that we've set that we want people to hear. We hope we have some topics that people want to hear.
Registration 9 a.m. The event goes from 9:30 until noon, and I see there's lunch following. Is there any charge for this?
Nope, there's no charge for this. It's open to the public, and we encourage everybody to come on out.
Excellent. And you've got room for as many as show up?
We've got room for as many as show up, and if it rains, we'll be inside, and if it's extremely hot, we'll be inside, and we do have air conditioning.
That's funny. He said if it rains. When does it rain around here?
I'm really trying to jinx us. I hope it's raining that day.
I hope that for everybody's sake, maybe it is too. We could sure use a little extra moisture. Aaron, thanks for coming in. Again, that August 17th, 9:30 to noon is the point of that field day. That's the time of the day. No charge. Registration at 9. It's out there at the Armstrong Research and Demonstration Farm. Excellent. Good facility out there. Good crew out there. It's nice to be able to have those types of facilities in the different parts of the state. We really appreciate the hard work that they put in. Thanks for coming by.
Thank you.